Blog Talk Radio.
Crank it up, crank it up. Golden State winning streak over, people.
One shot. Just play better, Rod.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now. Of course, time is now. Of course, welcome. You are officially talking sports with the 12 men on this lovely Tuesday evening. Of course, it is December the 16th. And as I said, if I didn't say it again, I'll say it one more time. You're officially talking sports with the 12 men. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And always, I got to check in, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing fantastic, man. Ready to talk some sports. We got a lot to get into. Of course, we're in the heart of the college football season, getting ready to get into the bowl game starting this Saturday. And, of course, we're coming to the climax of the NFL season, 2 weeks away from the playoffs. So we got a lot to cover. But the question should be, how are you doing after getting into a crash with a deer?
Man, it's pretty rough, man. But, you know, like I said, I was a game-time decision, Rob, but I came through, man. So that's all I can say, man. So I'm here, man. So anyway, that's what it's all about.
He's a gamer, people. He's a gamer.
Let's keep it moving. I love it. I love it. I love it. Without further ado, as we always do, want to give some numbers. If you want to give us a call to check in with the show, tell us your thoughts and all that fun stuff. Calling the show, as always, that number, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available, as always, in social media. We can't ever stop that. Give you a quick heads up. If you want to follow us, we are on Facebook and Twitter. If you're on our Facebook page, go to facebook.com/12manSports, or if you put in Talking Sports at 12 Man, you'll find a lovely shot of me, maybe one of Rob. And then finally, we're also in the Twitter world. I always do that. If you go to @12, THMAN Sports, you will find us. And that's how you will get it going. But, man, as Rob mentioned, we got a lot of stuff to get into. We got a full plate. The description was so long, Rob, I had to kind of, like, condense some things, too. But, yeah, we're going to talk about some college football, get into the NFL playoff picture, and kind of talk about some things like that, too. So, anyway, as Tebow said, let's get this party started. Let's talk about some
You have to mention Tim Tebow on every show, don't you?
So if I can fit it in, man, you know, that's just part of this. That's just part of the course, man. You know, so,
just in case any of our new listeners out there, my co-host has a man crush on Tim Tebow. We're going to get that out there.
I'm not saying that, you know. No, it's just funny to figure out how I can incorporate that into the show, man, because it's been a minute, man. So, you know, it's just kind of a fun thing, man, too. You know, at least I didn't say Johnny Manziel, you know. So other than that, it's all good. But, you know, let's get this party started. We got a lot of topics, Rob, and we'll kick it off right with some bowl predictions. Let's kick it off with the New Orleans Bowl right in your hometown, Rob. Nevada at Louisiana Lafayette, man. What do you think about this?
Yeah, of course, our bowl season starts this coming Saturday. It seemed like they came around fast. It seemed like the conference championship games was just a couple of weeks ago. I guess it really was, and we're getting into bowl season. But the New Orleans Bowl, I have to go to Louisiana Lafayette in this game. They've been in this bowl, seems like, 3-4 years running. They finished the year strong. Terrence Broadway is doing a phenomenal job at the quarterback position for them. And I like them. It's going to be almost a home game. They're probably going to have 30,000 to 40,000 fans in that game.
I like Louisiana Lafayette, too. Great team, too. What about the New Mexico Bowl, UTEP versus Utah State?
I like UTEP in this one as well, almost for the same reasons. Proximity, they're going to get a lot of fans to travel to the game. And so I like UTEP to win this game, even though Utah State is a slight favorite.
Very nice, very nice. Let's talk about Colorado State at number 22, Utah, the famous Las Vegas Bowl. So what's your thoughts about this one?
Well, this one, Jim McElwain did a phenomenal job turning that Colorado State program around. Obviously, he's just taken a head coach position at Florida. And you just have to wonder how prepared the team is going to be play in this game. And I think Utah really is the better team anyway, so I have to go with Utah to win this game.
Yeah, so they may send him out with a loss, Rob, and that's a good call, too. Let's talk about this bowl always cracks me up. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Western Michigan at Air Force. What do you think of this particular matchup?
I like Air Force here, you know, close to home as well, and that option attack is going to be tough to stop for Western Michigan to stop it. I like Air Force in this game as well. I tell you, we ought to come up with a bowl name, I tell you, and start one, man. Famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Yeah, that's what size it too, man. That one always cracks me up, man. They had the Tax Slayer Bowl. It's just getting a little crazy now, too. But, interesting for sure. Maybe we'll have our listeners come with a bowl for us. That'd be pretty great. Pretty good, to say the least. Let's keep moving here. Let's talk about is this the Camilla Bowl? Bowling Green at South Alabama. Is that the correct pronunciation of that?
Yep, the Camellia Bowl.
Okay.
It's right there in Alabama, in Montgomery, as a matter of fact. You got to go with South Alabama in their home state in that game. Why not?
I got nothing for that. That's pretty interesting, too. The Miami Beach Bowl, BYU at Memphis.
I like BYU. They're a really competitive team all year long. Memphis just snuck into a bowl game at the end of the year. Even though it's going to be a long trip for them, I like BYU. They're an experienced ball club, too.
Yeah, BYU, they always said all those guys on mission sometimes. They came back really prepared and mature,
focus.
If you will. So, focus, like good jazz. Yeah, the Boca Raton Bowl, Marshall at Northern Illinois.
Marshall kind of slumped toward the end of the year. It looked like they were going to have an undefeated season and possibly playing in a major bowl. I like Raheem Cato, the quarterback. I think he's a real pro prospect. I look to see him get drafted. I think they bounce back and have a big game in the bowl. I like Marshall.
Wow. Straight cash, homie. Randy Marshall, or Randy Moss is pretty excited about that too, Rob. Just wanted to tell you that.
Thanks, Randy Moss. Give us a shout-out.
I love it. Let's wrap us up with the Poinsettia Bowl, Navy at San Diego State.
Well, this game is right there in San Diego. Navy traveling across country. Got to go with San Diego State here.
I think they'll win this for the
offensive coordinator Bob Toledo's retiring from San Diego State. I think they win that for him as well.
They got to put those boys out the pasture. Very good. All right. That's how we get started with the bowls. We're thinking of a definite bowl name for us too, but we are going to keep it in the NCAA. And Bo Pelini, Rob, looks like he's had a new gig. Tell us about that particular move, Rob.
Yeah, I know there were a lot of teams in the country that was hoping to get their hands on him to be a defensive coordinator, but instead he takes a head coaching position at Youngstown State, who historically Youngstown State has been a power in Division I AA football, and so he's hoping to get that going, and he's an Ohio guy as well, so he gets to go to his home state as well. I thought he did a solid job in Nebraska, I guess the athletic directors at Nebraska still feel like they should be an Elite One program, but I thought overall Pelini did a solid job. I'd like to see him get another major head coaching gig in a few years.
I like it. Good call with that, Rob. You bringing it tonight, man. I like it. Let's talk about the TCU. They're trying to, pretty much lock up Gary Patterson to a long-term deal. So tell us a little bit more about this particular incident.
Well, TCU extends Gary Patterson contract. I think Gary Patterson is one of the most underrated coaches in college football. His team is always prepared. They're disciplined. Very good defensive coach as well. And obviously, you can make a case that they should be in this 14 playoff this year. I think there were six teams that deserved to be in the playoffs, but unfortunately there's only four spots, and TCU was one of those teams left out. And we'll get to see if they really belong. They got a big matchup against Ole Miss and the Chick-fil-A Bowl right there in Atlanta. I think that's going to be one of your better bowl matchups as well.
Good. Man. Good call. I like that. Rob is on a roll here. Let's talk about, we talked about Patterson here, so let's talk about Is there something about Pitt and Wisconsin here going on, Rob? What's going on with that?
Well, Paul Chris, of course, used to be offensive coordinator at Wisconsin for many years under Brett Bielema, and obviously he's the head coach at
Bielema.
Pitt right now. But yes, thanks for correcting me. But
I don't know if it's the right name or not, too, so I just want to make sure I was thinking the same thing, too. But you're good, Rob. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Paul Chris is the head coach at Pitt right now. It looks to be he's the number one candidate for West coaching, Wisconsin, I'm sorry, head coaching job. And I think it should be signed, sealed, and delivered in a few days. I think he will accept the Wisconsin head coaching position, take over for Gary Anderson, who left to go to Oregon State.
Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's talk about, we're just kind of here. Let's talk about a couple of things here. I definitely want to get your thoughts about the most overrated college football teams this particular season, or this past season, believe it or not. What are your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, I'm going to go through this real quickly for the sake of time. I have eight teams that I think underachieved this past season. Number one, I'm going to start with Texas A&M. Started off the season like gangbusters, but it really fell apart toward the end of the season. The defense was atrocious. He thought that they were ready to take that next step and play SEC defense, but they wasn't ready, and it really fell apart toward the end of the season. Still looking for a new defensive coordinator. USC, Cody Kessler, started off the season as well like gangbusters. And I think, you know, I think next year he will be in the Heisman conversation. I still think he's a legitimate quarterback. But USC as well, I think underachieved a little bit this year. Even my LSU Tigers, I think underachieved, still lacking a legitimate quarterback for them to win and compete in the SEC right at this moment. And so I think we'll see a better team next year. But I think overall this year they underachieved as well. Auburn. I kind of predicted that they were a little overrated going into the season, and I proved to be right. They're another team that lost three or four games toward the end of the season as well. Look at Notre Dame as well, losing their last four games. I think they were extremely overrated going into the season as well. Stanford, even though I'm a big fan of the head coach, Shaw, they were a little overrated going into the season. They were preseason ranked top 10. Obviously, they did not finish ranked that high. South Carolina, another team was picked to contend to win the SEC East. And I tell you, they just had a very average year, 6-6. Probably one of the worst teams Spurrier's had as a head coach. And so they're another team that underachieves big time. But the number one most overrated team, save them for last. Your favorite coach, Bob Stoops in Oklahoma. This team was supposed to be contending for a top four spot in the playoffs. They finished the season last year extremely strong. Everybody thought they were locked to win the Big 12 and be playing for a national title this season. And I tell you what, it seems they've lost four or five games this season when they were picked to be contending for a national title. So they are the number one most overrated team based on preseason predictions.
Rob is—he was ready to give those overrated teams too. So you know, good calls, man. And he kept it pretty objective. So good job on that front too, Rob. I love it. I love it. Love it. We have about 60 minutes. We're kind of close to halfway, but I do want to kind of talk about a big weekend, Rob. If you didn't know, we had the Heisman ceremony going on. And I got to give a huge shout-out and congratulations to Marcus Mariota. I guess we'll talk about him. And what do you think his prospects are going into the NFL next season, Rob?
Well, I think at the moment, obviously, still way early for the draft. But if we had a draft tomorrow, I think he would be a legitimate top-five pick. There's some quarterback teams. You know, I can easily see him going to a team like the New York Football Jets and taking over the quarterback position there. You can make a case for the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, they have to make a decision that Zach Mettenberg is going to be the answer. I think they pretty much made the decision that Jake Locker is not the answer and they're going to pretty much let him go. So there will be some teams with some tough decisions there. The Oakland Raiders have to make a decision if the Carr is the answer or not. So he'll definitely be a top five pick.
Woo-hoo-hoo. All right. We're about halfway in the show. I'm going to throw out the numbers real quick because we're going to get through this because we may not have time for a big OT portion because, you know, it's been a long week, but that's okay. 424-243-9519 is the number. Let's kind of set the stage, Rob, to the NFL playoff picture, if you don't mind, if the playoffs end of the day. We got an interesting race for the NFC South, but what's the predictions for the NBA playoff race?
Yeah, the NFL playoff race. I'm going to start with the AFC first. Right now, New England has clinched the AFC East. They're holding down their number one seed as we speak. The Broncos have clinched the AFC West. They are holding the number two spot. And Indy has clinched the AFC South. And so they are holding the number three spot in the AFC. The AFC North is still up for grabs. Cincinnati just has a half-game lead over both Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So Cincinnati at the moment has that four spot. Pittsburgh has the five spot. Baltimore has the six spot. If you look at this in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's hard to not envision a New England in the clash for the AFC title rematch of last year's AFC title. At the moment, if everything stays the way it is, New England will be at home. But I like the way Denver has kind of changed their scheme. They're running the football a lot better. I think they have an opportunity to possibly be able to go on the road and win a playoff game. So we'll see if that stays the way it's going. But New England also is playing extremely well right now. So I think that would be a heck of an AFC title game if those two teams meet again to advance to the Super Bowl. Now looking at the NFC picture as we speak, the number one seed as of now is still Arizona. They're still in the lead for the NFC West division. Number two right now is the Detroit Lions. Number three is the Dallas Cowboys. Number four is the New Orleans Saints at the moment. And number five is Seattle. And number six, Green Bay. Nobody has clinched the division in the NFC yet. As you saw in the AFC here, three division titles have already been clinched. The only team in the NFC that has clinched a playoff spot is Arizona. So they're definitely in, but they haven't clinched their division. But they're definitely at least have ensured themselves a wild card. I still think Seattle moves past Arizona. Seattle overtakes that division in the West. I think Arizona would eventually settle in as a wild card. And the strange thing, if you look at this NFC picture as we speak, there's one team that's not in the playoffs as of today of the season ending. That's the Philadelphia Eagles. And you look at it, you know, from the grand scheme of things, it looks like they've had a heck of a season. And they have, but at the moment, the season ends today, the Eagles will be out of the playoffs. But they're still in contention with the Cowboys for that division.
Good stuff, Rob. Man, way to bring it home. I love it. With that being said, we are still in the NFL, and let's kind of target there's some coaches that may not last, if you will. Well, obviously, right for the playoffs, call it Black Monday. And let's talk about some NFL assistants who are ready to make that next jump to become a head coach, Rob.
Well, I think there are quite a few guys that are candidates. You know, how many of these guys are going to be head coaches? You know, we'll have to wait and see. I think Josh McDaniel is primed for another opportunity, whether it be on the pro or college level. He's current offensive coordinator with New England, doing a phenomenal job. And I tell you, one of the best coaching jobs this season is Jim Schwartz up in Buffalo with that defense. You just saw them just totally shut down Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. They lead the NFL in sacks. They got a heck of a defensive line, a great secondary. Jim Schwartz, I think, is primed for another opportunity, doing a heck of a job with that Buffalo defense. And we'll see if Buffalo can sneak in the playoffs here. Gary Kubiak is probably primed for another opportunity, doing a solid job in Buffalo. I'm sorry, with Baltimore and their offense. Another candidate, Pep Hamilton. I don't know if a lot of people know that name, but he's offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts and has done a phenomenal job coaching up Andrew Luck here in his first few years in the league. Adam Gase in Denver, the offensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, I think he's done a phenomenal job turning that Denver defense around as well. I think he's another guy that should get a strong look for another opportunity. Look at Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator for Philadelphia. Even though Chip Kelly is kind of running that fast-paced offense, Pat Shurmur has helped Chip Kelly integrate some NFL scheme offensive plays into that offense as well to help him with conversions over to the NFL as well. So you got to look at Pat Shurmur. Dave Tue, special team coach for Kansas City. He's gotten it done for a lot of years. He was also the special teams coach for the Chicago Bears when Devin Hester was there. He sets out a great strategy for returns, for touchdowns. You might say a special teams guy for a head coaching position. But you look at John Harbaugh in Baltimore, that was his background, special teams, and he's done a phenomenal job as a head coach as well. Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for Seattle. He was primed for an opportunity with Florida, but it looked like he may be staying in the NFL. Darryl Bevell, offensive coordinator for Seattle. Wisconsin is also considering him for their job as well. Greg Roman, offensive coordinator for San Fran. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator for Arizona. He's done a phenomenal job, even with all their injuries. And Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator for New England. And last but not least, Jim Tomsula, the offensive coordinator for San Francisco. Those are just a few guys that I think are primed to take that next step in coaching.
Tell us about Todd Bowles for Arizona. Do you think he'd be a good candidate?
I think he's done a phenomenal job, since he's been in Arizona with that defense, one of the better secondaries in the league, one of the better defensive lines in the league. They're a ball-hawking defense. They play aggressive every week. And, I like him as a candidate a lot.
Good call. That's that he's linked with my Falcons. I was just trying to see what your thoughts are for that one. Real quick, is this a crazy situation? In that the Cowboys are thinking that DeMarco Murray will play after he had his surgery. What do you think about this move? Is this craziness, Rob?
Well, I think if he's healthy, you let him play. It is the left hand, so it's not, he's right-handed, so it is the left hand. Emmitt Smith played with the same injury, albeit Emmitt did it in a playoff game, but if you really look at the grand scheme of things for the Cowboys right now, this is a playoff game too, because it's not a shoe-in that whoever doesn't win this division is going to make the playoffs. So it's going to be a tough decision. If he's well enough to play, control the football, he has to play in this game.
Craziness.
I think he will play.
I think he will. He'll play too. Redskins, pretty interesting. They put Colt McCoy on ER. He's probably crying because Colt McCoy definitely wanted to become, part of playing with the Redskins, so he's trying his best. But what's going to happen? RG3 looks like he gets another chance here, Rob.
Yeah, and he played one of his better games of the season, this past week. So I think this is a great time for the Redskins to do another evaluation of RG3 in these last two games. And it gives them hopefully a good opportunity for them to make the right decision whether to keep him or to try to trade him this offseason. So I think this, in a nutshell, could be good for the Redskins to do another, eye test on RG3.
Or they may be trying to position themselves to make a trade, man. But we'll keep that on the docket as well. Any takeaways, Rob, from week 15 here?
Well, for me, one of the big takeaways is that Buffalo Bills defense and the way they just shut down Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. I know last week we made predictions on that game. We both predicted Green Bay to win, but I still felt like that was going to be a close game. And Buffalo really, they came to play with that defense. So, that's a that's one of the main takeaways from this past week. Of course, Seattle eliminating San Francisco from the playoffs after San Francisco has been a 3 straight NFC title game. So that was another big move, another big highlight from this past weekend. So those are definitely two big takeaways from this past weekend. And of course, Dallas, of course, taking over the NFC East with a big road win over Philly.
Yep. We're keeping moving here. We got about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about the five best rookie wide receivers this season.
Well, even though he wasn't drafted the number one wide receiver in the draft, Odell Beckham Jr. has been the number one rookie wide receiver. Right now, he's just tearing it up. And, his the size and speed ratio, his acrobatic catches. And you look at, he missed the first four games of the season, but when you look at his stats, it's almost as good as anybody that's played the whole season. Incredible. The numbers he put up this past weekend was outrageous as well. You have to put him in the number one slot at the moment. Number two, Mike Evans, of course. You know, we being the fans of NFC South teams, we're going to be seeing him a lot here for the next few years or so. He's got great size, knows how to use his body and position his body well for great leaping catches. Kelvin Benjamin, another guy in the NFC South we're going to have to deal with. Another tall guy, about 6'5". You know, so he'll be another one we have to look out for. And a guy who a lot of people thought would drop in the draft, Kelvin Benjamin, he's shown to be somewhat of a steal for the Carolina Panthers. Sammy Watkins, he was the number one wide receiver drafted. Maybe when it's all said and done, he'll be the number one receiver out of this class. But right now I have him in the number four spot. Number five, Jordan Matthews. I think Chip Kelly in Philly has done a phenomenal job. He's a second-round pick as well. And so he's the only one out of this group that was a second-round pick, but he's doing a phenomenal job as well.
Good calls. I do want to have enough time before we get to the NFL predictions. I do want to talk about Spanish shout-outs because we got to get ready to wrap this up. And we're going to have a really short OT portion, but can you squeeze in those Spanish shout-outs real quick, Rob, as we got about 3.5 minutes left?
Yep, and all three of our fantasy leagues will be championship games this coming weekend. So we want to thank all of our players from around the country for competing in our fantasy leagues. And just some quick shout-outs. Of course, our main number one league, the 12-man sports, the biggest win of the week, Eagles Chicks for Life out of the Albuquerque, New Mexico area, defeated the Texas Desert Panthers. 174.88 to 123.92. That was in the consolation rounds. Black and Gold still has a number one seed and will compete for the championship. And he's out of the Atlanta area. In our second league, Pellies had the biggest win of the week, 176.80 over SmackDown, 92.32. Pellies out of the Hartford, Connecticut area. And he's also playing Saints Pelicans 23 out of the New Orleans area. They will compete for the championship for that league. And then the Money League, the champ is here, knocked off the number one seed, Irvin's team, 119.24 to 69.18. The champ is here, right here in the New Orleans area. He will play Hot Rod's team for the championship. Hot Rod's team's out of the Atlanta area. They will compete for the title in that league. So once again, congratulations to you all, and good luck in the championship games this week.
We're at 2 minutes, Rob. Do you want to do the predictions or kind of talk briefly about the OT? Where do you want to go? Because we got about 2 minutes for our Week 16 predictions here.
Yeah, we're going to preview our brief OT portion here. We're mainly going to be doing NFL predictions in our OT portion. So if you need help with predicting these great matchups this coming Sunday, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link tomorrow when you get an opportunity, a lunch break or something around that time. You can hear our OT portion. We have some big NFL predictions to make. And if you want to hear our thoughts on these games, click on this portion on tomorrow. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion live. But once again, we thank you for tuning in. We'll be back live on the air next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. And, of course, for our listeners in the Germany area, that will be Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Once again, we thank you all for listening. Tune in again on next Tuesday night. And once again, tune into our OT portion on tomorrow. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Always love how Rob sets up the stage for that, too. But anyway, like I said, it's going to be a brief OT portion. We definitely thank everyone for playing in our fantasy leagues. We always have fun with that, and, you know, we had a little fun. You know, we kept it pretty respectable. We didn't talk too much to Mac Rob, but it's been a good fantasy year. With that being said, as we get ready to wrap up our live portion, as Rob said, thank you everyone for tuning in. If we don't get a chance to talk to you, happy holidays, happy New Year, all that fun stuff, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everything. Happy holidays to everyone.
Good night, people. Merry Christmas.
And there it is. We're officially into the OT portion. And, yeah, very, very brief OT portion planned here since we are in holiday mode here, holiday week. Let's do some Week 16 predictions. Let's get it on. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers coming off of a win versus my Atlanta Falcons. Who do you like in this game, Rob?
You know, Pittsburgh's had a couple of letdowns at home this year. They've been a pretty good road team, but up and down at home. But I'm going to say they win this game at home. I think they're focused at the moment. They're right in the middle of this playoff hunt, and so is Kansas City. But I think Pittsburgh holds on to win this game. The combination of Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, that's a lethal threesome when they're on their game.
Wow, love it. This is a huge game, Rob. Close to the Cowboys. We said it earlier, DeMarco Murray, we're thinking he's going to play somehow. I don't know if it's going to help affect him long term, but this is a great, great game. Colts are at the Cowboys, so you may want to give a slide to the Cowboys, but they're going to have their hands full. I say, Rob, all day.
Yeah, I'm going to. You know, if DeMarco Murray plays and if he's healthy, I like Dallas to win this game at home. But I think it's all about DeMarco Murray, and if he doesn't play, I like the Colts on the road here. But I'm going to say he does play, and the Cowboys win the game.
Another big matchup, Seahawks at the Cardinals. Man, what about this game? You know, really good squads here, solid defensive. What do you think about this particular matchup?
Well, I tell you what, the Cardinals, I think if they had a healthy Carson Palmer, I think they win this game by a field goal in a close game. But they're going to be starting a third-string quarterback against the Seattle team that is on the road. They're clicking at the right time. I think Seattle's playing like the best team in the NFC as we speak. And I like Seattle going on the road, beat Arizona, and take over this division.
Nice. Let's keep it in. Let's finish it strong with the Broncos at the Bengals. What's your call? What's your thoughts on this particular matchup?
Well, the Bengals is another team that seems to be playing better on the road, similar to the Steelers. And they'll, you know, take a hit at home every now and again. I like Denver going the road to win this game, which will, you know, give Baltimore and Pittsburgh an opportunity to possibly move up in that division. I like Denver to go on the road and beat Cincinnati. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Good call. I know what you meant with that, man. So what an awesome way to wrap it up, Rob, for this particular show. Do you have anything else you want to say as we get ready to prepare and thinking out there our listeners and also talk about the next week's show?
Yeah, once again, good luck to all of our competitors in the fantasy football leagues and even to the teams that are competing in the consolation round. Let's play for pride and have some fun in those matchups as well. But good luck to all of our competitors. It's been a fun fantasy football year. And, of course, we're getting right into the heart of the basketball season, so we're going to be competing in fantasy basketball there as well. So stay abreast in that league as well. So good luck to those competitors. And, of course, next week we'll recap Week 16 in the NFL. We'll preview our next set of bowl games for the next week of the college football season. So that should be a lot of fun as well. So definitely you want to tune in on next Tuesday. Once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Los Angeles, tune in at 8 p.m. Honolulu, tune in at 5 p.m. And Munich, Germany, tune in Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. We appreciate you guys listening to us. Good night.
Good night, as always. Thank you so much for the time, Rob. Great show. If I don't talk to you, hopefully I will, man. But, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and your fam. A lot of love, man. And, you know, just another great edition of Talking Sports in 12 Minutes, sir.
Likewise. Another great show in the books. We look forward to next week, you all. Good night, people.
That's what it's all about. Have a good one, folks. Tune in, tell your friends, all the good jazz. We will see you next time. Good night, Rob.
Good night.